If you don't know, we've been having prayer every night for 7 days, and this is the last night. And it's been interesting to see what's happened. Each night has been different. But God has honored these prayers. Do you know that He has honored these prayers? Do you know that He has heard them? Do you know that He is answering these prayers and has been answering them? The answer's on the way. There are many things that we don't see right now, but they're on their way. So we stand by faith and we say, thank you, Father. There's people that need provision, that need employment, that need housing. You stand on the word of God. He is my Father. And my Father takes care of me because I'm His son. I'm His daughter, right? So my God shall supply is what we say. Not, oh, what am I going to do? My God is what we say, shall supply all of my needs. Because that's the father's responsibility, to take care of the children. Amen. Is to provide for the family. So God wants us to trust Him. And we trust Him by declaring what He says, by agreeing with what He says, speaking what He speaks. Well, I know sometimes people get spooked at that and they just think, oh, is this some positive confession? Yes, it is. As a matter of fact, I mentioned it this morning, but what the world has done is it's stolen a lot of our stuff, you know, and it uses it and says that it's the origin is of the world, you know, where it's actually a God thing. You know, positive thinking, folks, it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Don't get spooked by positive thinking. The problem is people are using positive thinking independently of God, and so it's illegal. In the sense that everything we do needs to be under authority. And because we're under God's authority, that gives us authority, true authority. See, that's what the occult world does not have, is the authority. They have power, but they don't have authority with the power. We have the power of God and the authority. So it's legitimate. It's authentic. It's the real deal. And Jesus said, if anyone will climb up any other way except through Him, the same as a thief and a robber. So we come by way of the blood. Amen. We come by way of Jesus to the Father. So when we ask for God to fill us with the Holy Spirit, guess what? You're not getting the Kundalini spirit or whatever. Amen. You're getting the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Because what the world does is it copies. The devil copies. And then what he does is he convinces Christians that they have to be, you know, they become paranoid that they're going to get a demon or they're going to get the wrong spirit. So that we shut down and we don't open up and trust God to fill us with that thing which we need the most. And that's Him, the presence. Amen. So he gets us into this paranoia thing. And how many know you don't have to live in fear and paranoia in the Lord? If you walk with Jesus, you just walk in peace. And in light. And in the truth. And what He gives you. You know, if you ask the Father for bread. Right? He doesn't give you a stone. If you ask Him for an egg, He doesn't give you a serpent. Right? You get the real deal. And just because the devil's out there counterfeiting doesn't mean, amen, that everything that happens is supernatural is from the devil. And the devil has deceived many Christians so that now they believe that if there's anything that any type of manifestation of God's spirit or any type of supernatural manifestation, it can't be from God. And that's exactly what the devil wants. He wants people to think that he has somehow the monopoly. See, he's got the stuff. And so young people and the droves are going in that direction because they're looking for something greater than themselves. And unfortunately, too much of the church is not moving in that which God has made available freely to us. Are you with me? Yes. And they're seeing stuff, real stuff going on over here. And they said, the church, they sit around and you know they just get dusty. There's nothing legitimate, nothing authentic. It seems like they're just going through this routine of tradition. Are you with me? They're just playing church. So they've got to see the reality. Amen. There is a requirement for miracles. God confirms His word. How does He do that? With accompanying signs. Anybody here have a changed heart tonight? That's the greatest sign of all. Amen. Salvation has come. I'm not the man I used to be. He's changed me. Still changing me. This morning's message was entitled, What's in Your Book? Our text was Malachi 3:16, where a book of remembrance was written. And we're not going to go back there tonight, but I just wanted to say that everything that we do, think, and speak is recorded. Whether it's good or bad, there's going to be the judgment seat of Christ that we may receive rewards for the things that were done in our body, whether they were what? Good or bad. So there's a book. There are many books. In Daniel it says there are many, the books, plural, were opened. And in Malachi it talks about a book of remembrance, that those that feared the Lord spoke often one to another. In the King James it says often. And the Lord heard it, or he took note of it. And he said, they're going to be my jewels. These are the ones that meditate on my name or think on me. So we talked about fellowship. We talked about when people come together. You know, the importance of fellowship, of being together. Because how many know that you can't speak often one to another unless you're
together?
And there's a special blessing when we come together. And God wants us to be together because we need each other. He has gifted us so that we could minister one to another. So, what we think, what we do, what we speak for Jesus, amen, is being recorded in a book of remembrance. And I don't know about you, but I can't think of any greater topic than to talk about Jesus. When you get together with people that love Jesus and you talk about Jesus, it's just, there's just nothing greater than that. And so the Lord takes note of those who think on him, who speak on him. Amen? And he says, they're the ones that are going to be spared from the wrath to come. He says, I will spare them as a father spares his own son in whom he loves. I'm going to spare him. So tonight, I want to just continue a little bit in that direction. In Luke 12:34, and I also quoted it this morning, Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So we need to ask ourselves this question, is where is my treasure? And we need to be honest about that question, you know? About really, where is my treasure? Where is my heart at? What do I spend my time doing? What do I think about? What do I speak about? What do I, you know, consume my time with? Because what you value is what you're going to spend your time doing. You can tell what a person values simply by the way they live, by what they spend their time doing. If you value sports, you spend your time, you know, talking sports, watching sports, keeping track of the scores. And I'm not talking about, you know, sports as being something sinful. I'm talking about the fact that we have to be careful about anything that we allow, because it can very easily become either an idol or at least a distraction to keep us away from the main thing, to do what we're supposed to be doing. So a couple weeks ago, we talked about keeping the main thing the main thing. What is the main thing? The main thing to God is the harvest. It's to reach lost people. Amen? To bring them in and to make disciples. That's the main thing. That's God's treasure right there. You know, you are his treasure. You're his treasure. I'm his treasure. You may not feel very, very valuable, but you're valuable enough that Jesus went to the cross for you, to you. Amen? For you. That's how valuable you are. You are a treasure to God. Treasure. You're a jewel. The people who think on Him, who speak on Him, whose lives revolve around Jesus, amen, and not around themselves. Okay. So let's ask ourselves the question again, where is my treasure? Video games, television, shopping, hobbies, sports, pleasure, entertainment, family, physical fitness, etc., etc. So many are willing to sacrifice and overwork so that they can ensure that their children have the best. How many know that there are many people who have worked and slaved away their lives, ensuring their children have the best, only to have their children gone someday and completely lost into the world and not walking with Jesus? Because their time was consumed in making money to give their kids the best, and they didn't invest in them, in some cases, what they needed the most. We didn't take the time to pour into our children and to train up our children in the way that they should go. And the good news today is, if your children are away from the Lord, and yet they have had the word sown into them, how many know the word of God does not return void? Amen. So maybe you're not seeing the fruit of that yet, but you pray, keep watering, keep looking for opportunity, amen, to sow. Yeah. God is faithful. Yeah. Amen. You know that, don't you?
I do.
You're seeing it. You know, we can give ourselves for so many things, isn't it true? We can be so busy with stuff. Are we willing to give God the same level of passion that we give to our hobbies, to the things that we enjoy? What is your greatest treasure? Because the fact is that when we truly seek the Lord, when we set the Lord before us and we seek Him as our greatest treasure, everything else in your life will become secondary to that. You cannot seek God and begin to encounter God and not realize that nothing in this world can compare to Him. And as you encounter God, the fear of the Lord becomes a reality in your heart. As Isaiah, when he had the encounter of God, he says, whoa. That's where we get that word, whoa, today. Woe is me. But he became aware of his true condition. Is the love of Jesus the most precious thing to you? Have we lost sight of what it's really all about, what life really is about? The one who is the author of all life, the creator. We were made, we were created for him, for his pleasure. We are his treasure, and he takes pleasure in his treasure. But unfortunately, sometimes the treasure, amen, is not connecting. We're preoccupied. We've become so many times idolatrous, especially I think the church in America has been choked by the world, the love of the world. You know, the spirit of entertainment, the spirit of pleasure, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. David said in Psalm 63 and verse 3, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. God's loving kindness is so much greater and awesome and wonderful. It's beyond anything. Amen. In this life. And it's all about Him. We were made to worship Him. We are the objects of His love. And the Father wants us to love Him willingly, as a choice of our will, to seek His face. David said, you said to me, seek your face. And he said, my heart replied, your face I will seek. Do we still have that passion for Jesus in 1 John 2:15? Most of us know this, where John said, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You cannot serve two masters," Jesus said. "For all that is in the world, the lusts of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, or the boasting of what one has and does, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." How many know that James said it this way? He said it this sternly. He said, love for the world is spiritual adultery. If you claim to be a follower of Jesus and you love the world, you are an adulterer or an adulteress in a spiritual sense. You see, you're going to have to make a decision. And we said it this morning, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're all in. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing else, nothing greater. We're all in. We're going to serve the Lord. And so whatever you do, you know, many are the intentions of a man's heart. But it's the Lord's purpose that prevails in the end. And I found it a lot easier when I just cooperate with God and not try to do all this stuff and ask God to bless it instead. What you need to do is find out what God is doing and do that because it's already blessed. Amen. You don't have to ask God to bless what he's told you to do. That's where the blessing is. Because his commandment is love. And so whatever he tells you to do for him is always to be done in love. Amen. It's for the reason that we're here is to love one another. So when we love and we love others and we love one another, we're loving God. James 4 and verse 4, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God, or to make yourself an enemy of God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Now that word world means cosmos. It's this ungodly world system that we live in that's in rebellion to God's truth. So it's not just a thing of, you know, having pleasure, because God's not opposed to pleasure. But God does not want us to make an idol out of pleasure, because the bottom line is this: if we love Christ, then we're willing to sacrifice for Christ too. If you love your wife, if you love your husband, if you love your children, then you're willing to sacrifice for them. You're willing to make yourself uncomfortable so they can be comfortable. That's love. That's passion. God was passionate for us. Jesus went to the cross because he saw the joy that was set before him. What was the joy? It wasn't just going back to where he'd been. He'd already been there. You and I were the joy. He saw you and I, and that was the joy set before him, that he was going to bring many sons and daughters to glory with him because he loved us that much. So the Lord is calling you and I to fellowship, to divorce the world, the system that's in rebellion, and to fully give ourselves. We talked about believing God this morning, and that word means to commit yourself to put faith in, to trust, but to commit yourself. How many know that love requires commitment? Oh, man, and so many people say, "Oh, I love you." And the next day, the commitment's over, you know. That's not love. Love requires commitment. When we pray, James said, "You ask and you do not receive," chapter 4, verse 3. "Because you ask for the wrong reasons, that you may spend it on your pleasures." Now, what is he saying? Where's your treasure at? What do you highly esteem? What is the greatest thing to you and I? What we think on, what we spend our time on, what we talk on, amen, what we're meditating on is what we really treasure. And if we really treasure Jesus, guess what? Your life is going to reflect that, because out of your heart is going to flow the reality of who he is. Because you cannot meditate, think on, praise, worship Him and not be filled with Him and overflow with Him. And if you're full of the Word of God, guess what's going to come out? The Word of God. And so you can tell what a person's been eating because it'll come out of their mouth. Now, you might be able to get by for a little while Sunday morning and have all the Christian jargon down, say all the right stuff, you know. What about the rest of the time? What do you spend your time doing? What do you spend your time thinking and talking about? Amen? If we're full of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God is in our hearts, then we'll be just talking about Jesus. Amen? There's nothing greater. And you discover that when you talk about the Lord, there's a quickening in your spirit. There's life. There's life in it. Why is that? Because it attracts God's presence. Amen? When you start talking about Jesus, the angels come to alert, come to attention. There's somebody talking about Jesus over here. There's somebody witnessing about Jesus over here. Jesus says to the Father, Father, there's somebody witnessing for you over there. Oh, really? More love, more joy, more peace. It's true. When we serve unto the Lord and when we obey His word, we are demonstrating by our actions that we truly love God, that we truly trust Him, that even if it means rejection, because I am passionately in love with God, I will do whatever He says, whether people like me or not. That's beside the point, because God likes me. He likes me. He doesn't only love me, He likes me too. Do you know He likes you? He likes you too because He made you. And you don't have to look like anybody else, be like anybody else, because if you're not being who you are, then somebody's going to miss who you are in this world. Oh, Lord. Our love will be revealed in our obedience. The more that we seek God and we get to know Him, the more that we will love Him. And love will demonstrate itself in obedience. Obedience results in fruitfulness. Isn't it true? This is my commandment, that you obey me, first of all, and make a choice to love one another. And then what happens is there is good fruit. Now, we make the decision, and because of the Spirit of Christ in us, there will be the release of His Spirit through us, because we are cooperating with Him. If you want God to flow out of your life, do what He tells you to do. Right? As Mary told Him, do what He tells you. I want you to pour water into those empty wine jars. Oh, come on. That's kind of ridiculous, isn't it? Whatever He tells you to do, do it. And so, because they obeyed, there was fruit. Fruit of the vine. And happiness followed. How many know they were having a good time? Oh, that was grape juice. They weren't getting drunk, obviously, right? Not in that sense. But the reason why they would bring out the inferior wine after they had first served the superior wine is because of the fermentation that would deaden your senses. And then they'd bring out the cheap stuff later because people couldn't tell anymore. That's exactly what that's talking about. But the principle is this, that God serves the best. And we're not talking about the wine of this world. How many know that was a type of the wine that He would give? That His Spirit would rejoice our hearts. And the world will say, why are you so happy? Why are you so joyful? It's time to shine, not whine. Time to shine. not wine. But if you're drinking his wine, you will shine. Fruitfulness brings pleasure to God, thus fulfilling our purpose. So obedience brings fruitfulness. Fruitfulness brings pleasure to the Father. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. When we bear fruit, the Father is pleased. He delights in that. Why? Because we are showing the world what he's like. So that's how they're going to know. How will they know unless someone is sent? How will they know unless they hear the message? How will they know except somebody walks, amen, what they're talking and talks what they're walking? How many know that God gave us a word in our mouth to speak? Not everybody's going to be preaching from a pulpit, but everybody's to be a witness for Jesus. And if you say, well, I can't do that, it's because you need more of the Holy Spirit then. Because when you're full of the Holy Spirit, you can't help it. Has anybody found that to be true? When you're really filled up on God, it's like, shh, there's no fear. You're just happy. You're joyful. You're just, and people will usually ask you, what have you been smoking? Oh, I haven't been smoking anything. I've been drinking, though. I've been drinking the new wine. Turn to your neighbor and say, have another drink. Say, you look like you need another drink. No, I'm kidding. Don't say that. All right. Where's your treasure? Because that's what's going to determine where your heart is. Folks, I'm in this with you. Every day, we have to make the decision who we're going to serve. Because a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And so we've got to make up our minds. That means repent. It means I've changed my mind. I've made up my mind. As for me and my house, we will, as an act, as a choice, we will serve the Lord in every day. And every day when you get up, you're going to be confronted with the, you're going to face that question. Well, who's you going to serve today? Oh, of course, the devil wants you to serve you because he's a thief. He just wants to rob you. You know, we can get blessed. We can come to church, get blessed. And if you walk out of here and you don't continue to walk in the Spirit, you're just going to leak out. And nothing worse than a walking corpse, you know. Why do I say that? Because we're dead and our life is hidden with Christ and God. Amen? So when we don't walk in the Spirit, you get stinky really fast, especially as a Christian. Nothing worse than a backslidden Christian. It's worse for them, you know. Yeah, it's worse having known the way and then turning from it. It gets worse. Oh, Lord, help us. And so when Jesus taught us to pray, he taught us to pray in this manner, Matthew 6:9, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And let's hold it up right there. What is he saying? Priority. What is number one? Where is my treasure? Where is my treasure? What is first in my life? I hope that we take this seriously. That's what the fear of the Lord is. It means to take God seriously. That we think really think about this and say, wait a minute. If he is not my treasure, if he's not my greatest reward, my greatest treasure, my greatest desire, if he's not first in my life, then I'm actually being choked by things of this world. And it's not a good place to be. You know, if we abide in him, we will be like a well-watered garden. If we abide in him, we will bear fruit. And we'll bear fruit on a daily basis. And we have that access to His presence by a word. Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Sing to Him in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Be filled. That means be continuously filled. That's what that means. Be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. As you abide in Him, you will bear much fruit. And the Father will be glorified. Where is your treasure? What is your greatest treasure? I shared this with you a few weeks ago, but I like to fish. You know? I have since repented of that. No, I'm kidding. God's not opposed to fishing, right? But God wants us to be fishers of men. That's the priority. But I can find myself very quickly getting sucked into, where am I going to go next, you know? It's like people that go down to the casino and they drop, well, let me give it a shot here. They drop it in and, you know, whoa, I won something. Next thing you know, they're like, and you go down there, now they're sucked into it. They're night after night. They're a slave. They become a servant to this machine. It's bondage. So, obviously, I think at the root of gambling, okay, it's evil. It's not good. I don't think we should be doing it. It's covetousness. It's a desire to get rich quick. Okay, I'm not here to beat anybody over the head with that. But if you are caught up in that, God can set you free. And He wants to set you free. But you've got to make the decision that you're done with it. You make the decision. You have the power to do that. Because the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. But I go down there and I catch this nice rainbow, you know. I said, wow, that was fun. And then you're kind of like, I haven't been biting for a while, but the time's getting away from me. This time going, it's getting later and day to day. Oh, I got another one. I got another one. Well, maybe I can just cast one more out. And before long, it's like, you're just eating up all this time. Are you with me? I know you need some self-discipline. So I set a time for myself. I say, okay, at this certain time, I'm going to be done, and I got to get back, and I got business. I got priorities, you know? Do you see that good things, even shopping, ladies? God's not opposed to shopping, but shopping can be an obsession that will steal your time and your energy and the precious moments that you have here. Are you with me? If it becomes this thing where it's now out of control. As a matter of fact, we are to acknowledge God in all of our ways. God, is it okay? I'd like to go shopping. You know, most of the time, Father's going to say, go ahead and go shopping. I believe that. Thou shalt not shop. No. He's not like that. But the Father's got a purpose for your life that is greater than shopping. And when the Father says, no, I want you to do this instead, who are you going to serve? Where is your treasure at? Who are you most passionate about? Are you more passionate about shopping than you are Jesus? Okay, guys, I'm getting to you in just a minute. How about is it hunting? How about is it sports? You know? Whatever it might be. These are good things that can just choke us if we're not careful. America has become so consumed and so caught up, you know, in the rat race of just keeping up with the, I'm not going to use the Joneses anymore. I think they walked out last time I used their name, but no, I'm kidding. They're not here, so I can use the Joneses. But
oh, you got one here, buddy.
Are you a Jones too? Kavori Jones. Woo-hoo! But keeping up to Him in a Jesus sense. Now, if you're being an example, brother, I want to be like you, right? Is that a good way? We want to keep up with that Jones, the new Jones. The sanctified Jones. Thank you, Jesus. These brothers are precious. And I'm glad you're with us, CJ, tonight. Miss you when you're not here. So that's the message, folks, is let's recalibrate our lives if we have to. And remember that the main thing needs to be the main thing. Our treasure is in heaven, because our kingdom is not of this world. It's there. We're citizens of heaven. We've been given an assignment to be ambassadors, representatives of the kingdom government of heaven on the earth, to go and bear much fruit, that our fruit would remain, that our Father would find pleasure, amen, because of his children. And the day comes when, hallelujah, we come and we're going to say, whoa, in a good way. Not woe is me, but whoa, great is your reward in heaven. Father, thank you for the word tonight. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for guiding and directing our thoughts, our words, our actions, our deeds. Thank you, Lord, for the times of refreshing we enjoy in your presence. Thank you for my brothers, my sisters, Lord, that we are working together, walking together. We're going through this together, Lord, that we might be encouragers of each other. Lord, that we would reach down and pick each other up, Lord, when we fall, and help each other along, Lord God, and to never judge or condemn, but Lord, to love as you gave us commandment. Father, I pray that you will give us opportunity after opportunity to shine for you. Lord, I pray that you will keep us mindful of our purpose, of the main thing every day, Lord, that you will remind us, Lord, that you have an eternal purpose for us, Lord, on the earth. That our treasure is going to be with you, Lord, and that we're not going to waste ourselves in vain living, knowing, Lord, that all of our labor in the Lord is never in vain. And whatever we have done out of love and out of obedience to you, Lord, will be richly rewarded. Lord, thank you for loving us and choosing us out to be your called ones, your called out ones, your church and your bride. Lord, we pray that as we go tonight, as we leave, that, Lord, you will continue to minister to our hearts, continue to remind us of these truths, Lord. And when we need it the most, God, you'll bring it to our remembrance. Now, Father, I also pray that you will help each one of us to find someone to give, Lord, what we've received tonight away. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, I just pray, make us aware of the divine appointments and the opportunities every day to bear fruit, to win souls, to populate heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.